If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Tuesday. My name is Peter Klein, looking a little bit more trim today. Thank you guys for tuning in. It is about the Stanley Cup playoffs today with a couple of big games from last night and a couple big games tonight. Plus, we begin our coverage of Fury versus Usyk coming up this weekend from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. We'll be looking at the early storylines for that one. If you want a little bit more on some of the hockey stuff, I was on Sportsnet 960 The Fan yesterday. Check that out wherever you get your podcasts. But no more shilling for me. Let's get into it and talk some hockey. Thank goodness that's my favorite drop, because otherwise this would really be grating, because we talk about this sport a lot. And with good reason, as the Carolina Hurricanes are now within a couple of wins of getting to the Eastern Conference Final. Now they can't lose again, as they trail their series 3-2 with the Rangers, but that's a whole lot better than the 3-0 that they were looking at a couple of games ago. And really, this is, like, even with this, it may not even be the result that they deserve, because they have been the better game, the better team, and maybe even all 5 of these games, but certainly 4 of these games. And now they're finally starting to get the results that they deserve, because they're finally starting to break through Igor Shesterkin a little bit. And that is not a knock on Shesterkin at all. He has been phenomenal in this series, and like as Conn Smythe as it gets for the Rangers so far. That if the Rangers go on to win the Stanley Cup, there isn't even a podium. As my cat makes it look like I'm talking in an earthquake for those of you watching on YouTube. But Shesterkin has been the highlight for the New York Rangers in this series so far, and now they're starting to get through to them a little bit. And the 4 goals in that third period with your season on the line was quite the showing for the Carolina Hurricanes, but it was probably what they deserved all night, as they were the better team once again this entire game. And I think this was, I mean, it was an important third period for a number of different reasons. One, they won, so their season isn't over, so that helps. But two, I think it wasn't just the goals that they scored that really were the key. I also think it was who scored them. When you look at specifically the first two, Stahl has played so well in this series, but has had trouble breaking through. He gets the first goal after just absolutely walking Schneider and getting to the front of the goal and just tucking it around Shesterkin. And then Kuznetsov, who now has goals in back-to-back games after being a little bit shaky in the early parts of this series. So you get two guys who you needed to kind of get going and you needed to breaking through. And again, no one really has been able to on Shesterkin, who has been unbelievable in this so far. Guess where my cat is now? Back up on the desk. But you get Shesterkin, who has been unbelievable so far, but you're now able to get some pucks through. And like I said, they score four in the period, three of them on the goalie, and come away with that victory. And it is now becoming very apparent that the Rangers' defensive issues aren't just this cute thing that is allowing Shesterkin to come up with amazing save after amazing save and amazing performance after amazing performance. It is now allowing it is now hindering your team and allowing the Hurricanes to get back into this playoff series. I don't know why you're freaking out. I've been talking this loud the whole time. For those listening, my cat is up on the desk now with me. But the Rangers defense is now becoming a big enough problem that you can no longer ignore it. And I don't know what the fix is. Admittedly, I don't know the Rangers' blue line depth well enough to be like, oh yeah, just put blah, 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 blah in there. They are going to have to figure this out because it is way too many high quality scoring opportunities. They high danger chanced the Rangers 13-5 in this last game and 27-12 in the last two games. Two sides of this. One, that's way too many that you're giving up. And two, that's not nearly enough to be getting for the Rangers. Like, they are getting really dummied in these games. And yes, Carolina's been the more desperate team these last couple of games, 100%. But this has been a trend throughout this series for the Rangers that they have had a real difficult time slowing down and are going to need to do this to avoid an epic collapse in this Eastern Conference semifinal. Between the pipes for Carolina, Freddie Anderson has come up with another big performance. But again, you get that one exception. Shorthanded, it's a 2-on-1. But that is a save that Anderson needs to make on Trouba coming in and letting that shot go. And you're not expecting that shot. You're expecting a pass. It's a 2-on-1, blah, 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 blah. You need that save. At that point, it is a 0-0 game. Your team is on the power play. And this is another just backbreaking goal that it cost them against the Islanders early in their series, and it could have cost them in this game. Now, this team is mentally strong enough that they're able to just power through, and it's not an issue at all, but they need Freddie Anderson to not allow the one bad goal a game, because that could have been a backbreaker, and it's a credit to them that it wasn't, but that really could have been a problem. Out west, the Dallas Stars now a 3-1 series lead over the Colorado Avalanche, who got just awful news just a couple hours before this game, as Valeri Nichushkin is suspended for 6 months after a violation of the player assistance program. It's a stage 3, I believe, which makes it what it is, a 6-month suspension. And so to find that out a couple hours before game time is just a lot to take in. And first and foremost, you hope that Nichushkin gets the help that he needs and is able to get this thing back on track, because if this is stage 3, that means this is certainly not the first time that these issues have come up. And so you just hope that everything is all right with this guy and with his family as well. And so that obviously makes things a little bit difficult for Colorado. Like, A, your boy just got suspended. B, he's obviously dealing with some stuff, so that is on your mind. And then the hockey aspect, this is one of the top goal scorers in the Stanley Cup playoffs. He had 9. He was tied for the lead in goals in the playoffs, and he just gets yanked out of your lineup. That is, it's a lot to deal with for Colorado, and they predictably didn't deal with it all that well, getting their heads caved in by a really, really good Dallas Stars team who now have complete control of this series. If anyone is going to get this back on the rails, it is Nathan MacKinnon and these Colorado Avalanche, but for a team that has dealt with some major injuries and some issues throughout the year, this one might be one blow too many. in terms of the games tonight, it feels like it's over for Florida against Boston. And we talked about it coming in that Panthers had the better forwards, they had the better defense, and they had the better goalie. And I don't know if the goalie thing has showed out as much, but the other parts really, really have. Florida definitely slipped on a banana peel in game one. They essentially handed that game to the Bruins. But since then, it has been complete control from this Florida Panthers team, and they are out-Bruinsing the Bruins. And that is not something we ever thought we would see. But now I do think you are starting to see with Boston. And I'm not even going to harp on how they ended the season. I've beaten that point to death. But they are just not good enough. And so now we have seen how far, like, Marchand and Pasternak and McAvoy and these guys can take them. They need some help now. This needs to be, I think, an aggressive offseason for Boston. The season isn't over. We can get into that a little bit later. But they just, they do not have the horses to keep up with this really, really good Florida Panthers team. So I think that series is over tonight. In terms of Vancouver against Edmonton, I would expect a strong bounce back for the Oilers. The one question I have, like, yes, Skinner has struggled. Look, Pickard ain't that great. And that, like, this seems like a move just to try to spark something. And they certainly need a spark because, again, the Canucks have taken their lunch money in this series. But this is a real gamble for Edmonton to go with Pickard in this game. And I think Vancouver needs to come out and try to control this. I thought they did a great job of stealing the momentum in game three. Couple big hits on that first shift, including from Joshua. I thought kind of took that strong start that everyone expected Edmonton to have and just wrestled it over to the Vancouver bench because they played an excellent road game and were really able to control things. Edmonton put a lot on Shelov's late, but this was a game that Vancouver took control of early and were able to hold on. So I expect Edmonton to come up with something tonight, but the goaltending question, as always in Edmonton, is the biggest question, and they're going to need that defense to be a whole lot better as well. The goalie is, like, a lot of times, a goalie masks the problems in how well they're playing. This goalie is playing so bad, all the focus is on him and not focusing on just how dreadful they've been defensively as well. So, you know, if they can just fix the scoring, the defense, and the goaltending, the Oilers should be okay. So that's the story from the NHL. As I mentioned before, it is a Fury Usyk fight week. Let's look at the key storylines coming in to this gigantic Clash of the Titans out in Saudi Arabia. So, the heavyweight championship of the world will be decided this weekend as Alexander Usyk goes up against Tyson Fury in what should be an absolutely bananas fight. And we will have full fight breakdown as the week goes on. I think the big question for me is which style is implemented and which style ends up winning out. You have Fury, who is, like, probably the defining heavyweight of this generation, of what has been a phenomenal generation of heavyweights, with him, Wilder, Joshua, excuse me, all those guys kind of dancing around each other. Fury has been the guy. And to say he is just doing it because he is big, this isn't the Klitschko's. And beat the Klitschko's. This is someone who is doing it with the size, but also the skill, the speed, and the technique that was missing from heavyweight boxing for a very long time. He has brought it back and brought it back in a big time way. But none of those things, skill, speed, technique, are close to what Alexander Usyk can bring. And so that is why I'm so intrigued by this bout. Like, you have Usyk, who, like, I know heavyweights don't typically do well pound for pound. He could have these skills at 105 pounds and he'd be one of the best in the world. That is what pound for pound means to a lot of people. Those skills are transferable up and down the weight classes. He is so talented and so impressive in what he is able to do. But Fury can do it not as well, but still pretty well, and he has the size. So what wins out? Is it the speed and the precision of Usyk, or is it the brute size of Tyson Fury backed up by the speed, the power, and all of these things? And if it is Fury this weekend, where does this rank? Like, to rank him amongst the great heavyweights of all time does feel not right. Like, he's not Ollie, Frazier, all those guys, right? Like Foreman, Tyson even. But this would be such an impressive win and such a resume-defining win to be able to go out and take out a guy who is on most people's at least top five, pretty well top four for pound for pound, and be able to take that out. That just like absolutely 100% plants the flag at the top of this generation that this was Tyson Fury's time. And it was anyway, but it kind of carries into the next one too. If it's Usyk, that really, like, you're already talking about an unbelievable legacy that this guy is leaving behind, going from cruiserweight up to heavyweight and knocking off a couple of the key fighters that have defined this era. So legacy on the line, belts on the line, and it is such an intriguing fight. I cannot wait to watch these two guys get after it on Saturday morning out here in Calgary. So that is going to do it. Coming up on the show tomorrow, we are going to look at the legacy of Tyson Fury. There's a lot of turmoil, and there's a lot of good, and there's a lot of not great in there for Tyson Fury, so we will look at that coming up. We're going to look at other boxing fights that are happening in the next little while coming up on Thursday, and then Friday will be the full fight breakdown. That is going to do it for the show today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Bit of a quick one, but we're getting back in the swing of things after a radio day. I am going to be on Sportsnet 960 The Fan tomorrow as well, but like I said, we are going to do at least something on the podcast here today, or here tomorrow as well, and then it is your regularly scheduled programming Thursday and Friday. We're also starting with some CFL previews coming up this week, so look forward to that as well. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at PrimetimeKlein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK, and you can email the show couchpotatodiary@yahoo.com. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to all of you later. I'm out.